Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Wiggins moves in. Guarded by Anthony. Goes up, got fouled. Floater, good. Put him on the line. And a chance for an and one. Andrew Wiggins has taken over this fourth quarter. He has been fantastic. Wiggins now with 12 in the quarter, 22 for the night, and the Warriors lead by 7.
It's time for Warriors Wrap-Up. We'll bring you into the locker room and hear from Coach Kerr and the players. Highlights from the game, Warriors Wrap-Up starts now.
Just when I think I'm out, just when I feel like this team is at the edge of the cliff, just when I feel like the Warriors got nothing more to give, they pull me back in with a gutsy, resilient, emotive, and important victory in Orlando. First one since 2017, they beat the Orlando Magic on the road without Draymond Green behind a fantastic fourth quarter performance, as you heard from Tim Roy, from Andrew Wiggins, from and everything you can give on the tail end of a back-to-back 35-minute performance from Stephen Curry, and a wholesome definition of a team win tonight, 101-93. The Warriors beat the Magic. They beat the 5s in the Eastern Conference, but more importantly, they grab another road win. They get back-to-back victories on the trip to Florida, and they restore a little bit of confidence as they hang on to, at very least, a one-game lead for the 10 seed in the West. Evan Giddings with you here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. Appreciate everyone that is filing in right now, whether you're on the YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union, whether you're listening on the Odyssey app, however you are listening to us right now, we appreciate you because of the game that was in Orlando. And I know it's one game, and I know it's one of those where, hey, you know, we've kind of seen this before, the Warriors begin to turn the corner, but that was a game that was special to me for multiple reasons. Number one, it had everything. It felt like one of the few wins this year that the Warriors wanted badly, and they got. I mean, they dug deep for that win tonight, and they needed to. They looked like a team that was spent and found a second or third gear, depending on how old or young or what role you were demanded to play because of some makeshift pieces tonight. And they found a way to beat the third best defense in the Orlando Magic in the league. They competed. I mean, they left it all out on the floor tonight. And those are the kind of games that you love to see. And that has made, I think, everyone throughout this season just pull their hair out, depending on what night and what level of effort and urgency we're going to see from the Golden State Warriors. I mean, 4 minutes in, Stephen Curry was literally in tears. And by the end of the night, you could hear cheers from Golden State Warriors fans in Orlando. The Warriors' depth was on full display, and it was necessary. And then maybe the most important part of it all, the Warriors won a game without Draymond Green getting ejected for the first time this year. And that is not insignificant. And I'll get to Draymond Green. I'll get to number 23, who played 3 minutes and 36 seconds of this game, shouldn't even come out of the locker room. We'll get to him. But this night is not about Draymond Green. Maybe the beginning of the game, and maybe everyone at halftime was thinking about what they were going to tweet and what kind of shots they were going to throw at Draymond. But by the end of the game, I wasn't thinking about him. This game tonight, that second half, that fourth quarter, that overall performance by the end of the night in Orlando was not about Draymond Green. And I do not want to start this show with talking about a guy that is less invested in the team than everyone else out on that floor this evening that left it on the hardwood. And I want to start with the guy who, in my opinion, played his best game, given the circumstances, given the situation in the season, and given the workload that he had to handle and put on his shoulders. The best game that Andrew Wiggins has played, in my opinion, since the 2022 NBA Finals. I mean, this guy was two-way Wiggs tonight. And I know we use that term far too often. And it almost feels like whenever Wiggs has, you know, a decent game, he scores some points, grabs a few rebounds against any opponent, you know, we use phrases like, oh, Wiggins had a pulse, or Wiggins showed a fire, or at least, you know, Wiggins was doing his thing tonight, a little bit here, a little bit there. But that game tonight was one that the Warriors, at this point, every game is a game that they need to win if they want to get at least a crack at the postseason. If they want to give themselves a chance to get into the first round, they needed to win tonight. They are going to need to win on Friday in Charlotte. They're going to need to stack wins to keep a mad-hot Houston Rockets team off their heels and out of the 10 seed. And you could say, Evan, why are we talking about the 10 seed? Why are we talking about the play-in? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Steph Curry tonight looked emotional at the beginning and at the end of the game. This season matters to them. This game tonight mattered to the Golden State Warriors. And for those out there that are saying, oh, well, they're four-time champs, how could they care? How could they feel this sort of way about a play-in game? I'll ask you to rewind. Watch the final 12 minutes of that game. Steph Curry played all but, I believe, 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. He played 35 minutes, nearly 36 minutes on the back end of a back-to-back. That's a guy who wanted to win. And yes, he didn't have his best game. Yes, the Magic were throwing doubles. At times, they were throwing triple teams at him because there was no one else. There was no help. Jonathan Kuminga was out tonight. Draymond Green got ejected 3 minutes and 36 seconds into this game. The Chef had to put a lot on his shoulders tonight. And you know who stepped up to the plate? You know who grabbed the bat and called a shot? Was Andrew Wiggins. Shout out to you, number 22. This was a game where they needed Andrew Wiggins, and he delivered. With 13 fourth quarter points, he had to move over to the four because Kuminga was out, and then Draymond got ejected. He was guarding Banchero. He grabbed six very important defensive rebounds tonight. This is a kind of game where you might look at the stat line and you say, oh, Wiggins has probably had better than 23 points on 17 shots in 35 minutes. He's had more than six rebounds before. He had two blocks. He also had a steal. He was a plus 12. Andrew Wiggins was unbelievably impactful, in my opinion, down the stretch of this basketball game. And while Steph didn't have it going for most of the night, he did have 10 assists. This was a game where Wiggs just carried them to the finish line to the point where Curry could grab the baton and hit the final two daggers. We've been asking for someone, a running mate, a second option, someone to step up and help Curry score some points to get some stops. Wiggins did that in the fourth quarter tonight. He hit three threes, couple of which in the fourth. He was attacking the 10. He was taking guys on the block, got to the free throw line. He was making his free throws, at least in the fourth quarter. It's 3 of 6 for the game. But the point stands that Andrew Wiggins, in my opinion, played his best game, his most impactful game considering the circumstances, who was out, who apparently wanted to not play tonight, and who the Warriors had clinging to their heels for the 10th seed of the play-in tournament. It was Andrew Wiggins. This was the most impressed that I've been with Andrew Wiggins for a long, long time. And whether or not he has been in the ire of a lot of Warriors fans, a lot of Warriors media members, including myself, I'll come out and say it. I was not impressed with what Andrew Wiggins had done the better part of two for the last 2 years. The absences played a role. There's no doubt about it. But for personal reasons or otherwise, he had not been the same player that the Warriors gave a four-year contract extension to after the finals. Tonight, he looked like a player that earned his money. And the reason being, when the Warriors decided to extend four-year extensions to both he and Jordan Poole, in my mind, I was on the radio that day. I was ecstatic. Number one, because they locked up a player that was the second best option in an NBA Finals series. Secondly, because it looked like they had two players that could not carry the torch of a dynasty, but could help maybe extend the runway a little bit. And I know it's one game, and I know that it's, you know, something we have not seen for the majority of the season from Andrew Wiggins. But that didn't mean we didn't see it tonight. Curry was in need of a running mate. He looked old at times. He looked like a 36-year-old. He looked like a guy that at the tail end of the first half wasn't getting back on defense, and Paolo punched it home to make it an 8-point game, and Curry was incensed. Curry looked like someone who needed some help before he could put the dagger in the hearts of the Orlando Magic. And the guy that was there tonight, because Jonathan Kuminga was out with knee soreness, because Draymond Green decided to go get himself ejected, because the Warriors, quite frankly, outside of Klay Thompson, on any given night, don't really have a guy that could take a shot or make a shot. It was Andrew Wiggins. And, you know, this station as a whole, I think, has come down on Wiggins in a way that, in my opinion, has often been fair throughout the last 2 years. But tonight, tomorrow, I mean, you got to tip your cap, because that was a game, and a tough game. First half was pretty gruesome, I'll tell you that. That looked like, it's funny, in March, we've been watching the NCAA tournament, first round, second round. That first half looked like a tournament game. Nobody was hitting shots. I think the Warriors were 2-for-16 from three. The Magic made 3 field goals in the first quarter. They had 11 points. It looked like Colorado State against Texas. They couldn't buy a basket. The lids were on top of the rims for both sides for the first 24 minutes of this game. But you know what? The Warriors fought. And they have not been able to fight to the point where they could beat a team that has a playoff path. The Orlando Magic are a 42-win team. I know they're probably not going to go deep in the, or at least I don't expect them to go deep into the Eastern Conference. But the fact remains, the Magic are a good team at home. The Warriors apparently do not play well in Orlando. And this was a game that had adversity written all over it from the start. The Warriors were down, their second-best scorer essentially in Kuminga. Their best defensive player got tossed 3 minutes and 36 seconds in. All they could do was fight. And whether they were throwing rocks, whether they were throwing leather into nylon, it didn't matter. Because throughout this game, I think we learned a lot about what's left in the Golden State Warriors. And is it going to result in a long playoff run? No. But I think it also gives us a little bit of insight as to what could happen in the future. This season, but particularly this summer, I know it's hard to not overreact to one game, and I feel like I might be sipping the Kool-Aid yet again. Once more, off the top of the show, when I feel like I'm out, they just continue to pull me back in. Shout out Pacino. But that was the kind of game that I watched tonight, and it was the type of game that the Warriors, in 101-93 fashion, just injected a little bit of adrenaline, I believe, back into this fan base. For the 510, the Comcast Business Text Line, let Wiggins carry them. From the 707, Wiggs heard all the slander on 95.7 today and had to show out. He did. I mean, you got to give it to the guy. He was fantastic when the Warriors needed him the most. And he gave it to Curry, who, that might have been the most emotive night-night celebration that we've seen from Steph, because this game, again, this game meant something to them. This game meant something to the Warriors, and it meant something to Curry. They went from tears to jeers to cheers over 48 minutes. I mean, Steph was literally crying on the court in Orlando 4 minutes into this basketball game. That was not one that I expected to go their way. And afterwards, it was almost like it lit a fire under them. They go on a 17-3 run, a 20-5 run, I believe, throughout the rest of the quarter after Draymond got ejected. They go into the locker room up 8. And then they get the help from the bench. Moses Moody and his hustle was unbelievable tonight. I thought he was fantastic considering he didn't make a jump shot. Brandon Pajemski, Trace Jackson Davis, Kevon Looney. I do want to shout out specifically Moody and Looney. We'll get to Pods, we'll get to TJD. They have their shine as rookies. But Looney and Moody are two players that were essentially out of the rotation. I mean, they were. They are on the outside looking in on given nights, on most nights, on almost every night, it appears, for the final 10 games of the season. They will be on the outside looking in as far as minutes are concerned, and they were tonight. And because of excruciating circumstances, they had to step up, and they both did. Looney in this game, off the bench, 7 rebounds, was a plus in 15 minutes. With a couple of blocks as well. Moses Moody wasn't able to buy a basket from three. Really, the Warriors as a whole, they were 10-for-34 from three-pointers. They couldn't buy a basket to save their life. But Moody played 24 minutes in this game. had a few hustle plays. Freaking left Joe Ingles. Shout out AARP. He's a pretty old guy, but he left him at the bus stop. Had a putback slam. 5 rebounds, 2 offensive. 12 points in this game for Moses Moody. Was a +7. And then the two rookies. I thought TJD, who had to start tonight. Look, 8 points, 14 rebounds, 5 of them offensive, as well as a block in 33 minutes for a rookie who had to start, again, because they pretty much were without Kuminga. And so they decided to go 2 bigs. And then Draymond decided to make it 1 big. But TJD was also very good in this game, I thought, with his level of effort. And this was a game in which the Warriors, like the Orlando Magic, if you watch them at all throughout the season, whether they played the Warriors once before, they beat them at home, or if you've seen them otherwise, they win a lot of games based on effort. They are younger. They are more athletic. They are longer. They start 3 players that are 6'9 or taller. They get into opposing offenses and frustrate the F out of opposing teams. And you saw that on Curry's face. I mean, he scored 17 points on 18 shots, but more importantly, I thought he didn't turn over the basketball. I think he really only had 1 bad one in which he got caught in the air and had to give it up, but they frustrated Curry defensively, and that's why the Warriors, looking around for help, I thought needed someone to take the mantle from Steph at particular moments, and Andrew Wiggins was that guy. Along with the lines of TJD, Brandon Podziemski, who, as of last game, had been relegated back to the bench. Klay Thompson inserted. I thought that was because they wanted to space out the floor a little bit more. I thought they wanted to give more room for someone like Curry, Kuminga. Also, Podziemski might have hit a rookie wall a little bit. And tonight, 9 rebounds off the bench, 4 offensive rebounds, +10. That was 3rd best throughout all players tonight. You know, Podziemski was everywhere. He was hustling. And he did a lot of Podziemski things, only he wasn't asked to play Podziemski minutes. And so I just thought that this was a gutsy, resilient, emotive, and important victory for the Golden State Warriors this evening in Orlando. 101-93. The Warriors now 19-15 on the road. It is pretty incredible that they are more connected. I'll give them that. They are more connected on the road than they have been. Pardon me. Yeah, now on the road, actually 20-15. I apologize. They are 38-34. 4 games above .500. They, as of now, remain 2 games behind the Lakers for the 9 seed, and as of now are a game and a half above Houston, who is right now tangled up with OKC in the second half of that game for the 10 seed. But 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors wrap-up here on 95.7 The Game. A quality, hard-fought win for the Warriors, and I want to hear from you, whether it's on the Comcast Business Text Line. I see you on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Let's get out to Pacifica and talk to one of our favorites, Junior. Junior, what's up, my man? How are you?
Hey, Junior. I'm Junior. Thank you so much for the coverage after the game and pointing out to us how important this game is, you know, even in these challenging times. I just want to point out a fact that people seem to have completely forgotten, which is that when Wiggins took his deal coming off the championship year, everyone viewed it as very team-friendly. And I kind of suspected he was taking pressure off himself in a weird way by foregoing, you know, maybe $20 million he could have pushed for. And now that the criticism going the other way, I do see that. And I'm very glad to see him step up. No one knows, I don't think, on this earth what it takes to motivate him at a moment or another, and he does have real family problems challenging him. I don't know what they are, but you can see the evidence around, and we'll hear the story at some point. But I just hope he can keep it up and make his mark in this very weird season that we're in that still has some promise in it.
Thanks, Junior. No, I'm with you. I mean, I think the contract at the time, yeah, it was looked at team-friendly because he did take a pay cut based on the previous, I think, rookie max that he signed with Minnesota. But I think that contract was given to him because of hoping that he could put together for extended stretches games like tonight. And you're right. A lot of that has not been afforded to him because he had to miss a ton. He had to miss, what, 2-3 months last year due to personal reasons. Obviously, and his brother revealed it on Instagram, there's still a lot going on back home with his family and his loved ones. So Wiggins is dealing with a lot. But the games like tonight are games in which you need someone that can be a point of attack defender who can also help you on the glass, who can also be an offensive, steady option, whether it's in the post, occasionally knocking down the open three, just being a consistent two-way player that the Warriors, quite frankly, because of Klay's catastrophic injuries, have not had since 2019. Wiggins is the guy. I mean, think about it. Two-way players on the Warriors. Draymond Green, he's a defensive player. Curry, God love him, he's an offensive player. Since Klay's injuries, he's an offensive player. Andrew Wiggins is the one two-way bulwark that they can use, and I think that's why he was rewarded with that contract. And a game like tonight makes you want and kind of it makes you understand why they gave him that deal. At the end of the day, he's still 29 years old. Again, he is in his prime. Well, he's supposed to be in his prime. And it's been unfortunate that the one player that in terms of, you know, age and attrition is still able or should be able to manage a workload like tonight, 35 minutes, playing down the stretch heavy and taxing minutes, he should be able to do this with more frequency. And he's been the one guy that's probably been the most inconsistent when he's played of any player that's been a, let's say, focal piece of the starting five that's been primarily a starter this year, though he has come off the bench. All right, want to continue with your calls at 888-957-9570. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors Wrap-Up. We are going to hear from Steve Kerr in just a little bit. Also have our hardest worker of the game coming up. And, of course, your text messages from the Comcast Business Text Line, 510. The Warriors will win the title if they're a bottom seed, play mostly road games. I don't want to take it that far. But for the 510, I also think this is a good point. We cannot play with a short bench. Everyone needs some minutes. Yeah, I thought this was a strength in numbers victory, but that's also because it had to be. And we can get to why it had to be in just a moment after it sounds like Kevin and Fremont wants to talk about that very reason or that very man, Draymond Green. Kevin, what's going on? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up with Evan Giddings. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, Draymond, the moment he came to this the Warriors, I knew he was going to be good. I said he's going to be the best power forward they've had in here since Larry Smith. Big compliment to him, and he turned out to be even more versatile and more, just more of a overall great player than Larry Smith ever was. But you know what? As the favorite player, I'm really kind of getting sick of his taking excuses to take nights off and check out whenever he wants to, and it's just becoming. I understand that he's great, and he keeps apologizing. He apologized to Curry for getting kicked out and suspended. Well, you know what? He needs to get back to apologizing to Curry, but Curry needs to hold him accountable and say, man, I need you in there more than I need you fighting for me with the officials. I need you in there fighting for me for rebounds, fighting for me for picks, fighting me for great passes, and doing all the things that it actually takes to win on the court. And one other thing, as far as Wiggins, I'm grateful that he had a really great game this year, today. But in any other job in America, people have personal problems and life-changing situations. And you know what? He needs to come to work, and he needs to try to do that every day. I don't care about his personal problems. If you're going to come to work, come to play. But most of all, Draymond, just grow up and actually stay focused and actually be there to help Curry and quit apologizing for your stuff. Just don't do it.
Thanks, Kevin. Why would he do that? And I don't mean that in your direction specifically, Kevin, because I think that sentiment that you just echoed is pretty common. Yeah, just don't do it, Dre. Just don't. I would ask you why. What over the last better part of 12 years would indicate to you that Draymond Green will just stop? Will just take that emotion and put it in his back pocket or side pocket. I don't even know if he's got one. I mean, those pants don't have pockets, and Draymond's got nowhere to put his emotions. And this tonight was for the crowd. We've talked about it a lot on Warriors This Week. We've talked about it a lot on 95.7 The Game. Has Draymond Green changed? No. No, he hasn't. Tonight, Draymond Green didn't want to play. He should have left his jersey in the locker room. And everything that you need to know about what transpired at the 3 minute and 36 second mark of the first freaking quarter was all over number 30's face. It was all over Stephen Curry's face. I waited 25 minutes because I believe that there are other players in this game that deserve more attention than Draymond Green, but you sparked the fire, Kevin. Let's get into it. Everything you needed to know about that ejection tonight and where the Warriors are at with Draymond Green, as far as his progression, as far as his emotional growth, it was all over Stephen Curry's face. From the time that he started arguing with the ref, you could see Curry, go back, just watch the clip. You can see Curry saying, enough, come on, come on, Dre, come on. Trying to give Draymond room to be himself, and then eventually trying to cut the cord, saying, it's okay, you let the ref have it, he missed a call, let it go. And Draymond Green, for the 21st time in his career, only second behind Rasheed Wallace, couldn't let it go. Draymond was ejected for the fourth time this season. And for the better part of 2 years, he fessed up to messing up last season because of what he did preseason, which did not allow him to do what he wanted to do, apparently throughout the 82 and into the second round of the postseason. This year, because of his antics, because of his inability to leave the referees or specific players around the league alone, he has put the Warriors in compromising situations. And tonight, Steph Curry looked like he'd had enough. He looked like he had enough. He was crying on the court coming out of that bench after Draymond just couldn't let the referee go and walk to the table. He made contact with him. That's a tech. We understand that you're trying to demonstrate where the foul was or wasn't missed. You got a tech. After that, Curry, Chris Paul. There was a few players in front of Draymond trying to get him to stop, and he couldn't do it. I'm sorry. And Curry, I don't know if it was frustration. I don't know if it was sadness. I don't know if it was the realization that he felt like another suspension was... I don't want to pontificate on the future of Draymond Green, really. All I know is what I saw on the leader of the franchise's face. He looked like a dude that was done with Draymond Green. Now, does that mean Draymond's not going to be out there on Friday? Well, assuming he doesn't get suspended again. Yeah, he's going to be out there. Yeah, he's going to start. Yeah, he's under contract for 3 more years. Draymond Green's probably not going anywhere anytime soon. But for the first time, number one, we saw in-game Steph Curry, his running mate, arguably his largest supporter, publicly speaking, we saw him just simply be fed up. An outpouring of emotion for a guy that he realized just couldn't control. And he hasn't been able to control him. I mean, this is the same guy that said, I'm not playing in a season that's going nowhere. This is the same guy that has gotten suspended in multiple playoff series that's cost the Warriors arguably a championship. The same guy that attacked a coach in 2015, or at least he tried to. This is the same guy that has now been ejected 4 times. But the difference tonight to me, the Warriors won. The Warriors won, and they did it with joy. They played with joy without Draymond, and they beat an opponent that was good. They beat a 42-win Orlando Magic team on the road on the second night of a back-to-back. That's not a game that if you lose your emotional leader, you're supposed to win. That's not a game that if your captain is gone for about 44 and a half minutes of that basketball game, you're supposed to win. And the Warriors did it in spite of Draymond. They did it in spite of Steph crying at midcourt. They did it in spite of Jonathan Kuminga being out and Draymond not being there on a night in which they needed him. They did it in spite of all of that. And that, to me, why, in addition to Wiggins' fourth quarter performance, in addition to the depth and the rookies playing up to par, Moody and Looney and freaking Gui Santos even hitting a three, Chris Paul, an entirely team victory was on display tonight after Draymond Green got ejected 3 minutes and 36 seconds into the game. That has not happened before, and that, I do believe, is significant. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors wrap-up here on 95.7 The Game. Let's get out to Tony. Tony's in Alameda. Tony, my man, what's happening? How we doing?
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, you know, I called about Draymond Green here. You know, that is pathetic. You know, early in the game and get kicked out already. Okay, and didn't he go to anger management? Like 2 months ago, then he was good for how long? He was able to control it. Now tonight, you're playing Orlando, which is not the best. I would get a fit if you were playing someone who's like Philadelphia or Milwaukee. I see it early in the game, and you go crazy. That's unacceptable for Draymond Green. Okay, and for Curry for kicking that chair. I don't think he was pissed about Draymond Green for getting kicked out. I feel like he wasn't performing right. Then when he made that shot there, that was that's the time when he kicked that chair down, and that's what I said to myself, what happened to this guy here? Okay, and that kind of bothered me. Okay, and on the play-in time, you don't do that, Draymond Green. You want to get in there. Damn, if we would have lost tonight, that would have been on his side. The team would have been on his side right now, and that would have been ruining it right now. I mean, they were up, 19 points or something? And they caught up down by four or two. They almost won again. This like they had the three games and something like that, like with Indiana. They had a lead, and we end up losing them. Okay, and it's not acceptable. Draymond Green, you need to relax there and focus more in the game. Okay, first of all, too, it's not you. It's Wiggins' foul. Why are you complaining about you? Okay, Wiggins didn't complain. Thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate it, Tony. Yeah, thank you. To the 765 on the Comcast Business Text Line, is this going to be the whole postgame? No, you must be a little bit late, and I apologize for that. We spent the first 25 minutes talking about nothing except non-Draymond-related topics, and people naturally want to get into it. Want to talk about Andrew Wiggins? I would love to do that. Like I said, this is the best game that Andrew Wiggins has played in my mind since Game 6 of the 2022 NBA Finals. Considering the circumstances, considering the workload that Curry was dealing with on the second night of a back-to-back, playing 35 minutes a game high, they needed someone else to help this team. And tonight it was Andrew Wiggins. You want to talk about the rookies? You want to talk about guys that were coming off the bench in this situation? Massive contributions from Trayce Jackson-Davis, Brandon Pajemski, Moses Moody, Gary Payton II, who was also really good in this game. Forgot to mention him, so apologize to GP2. Also, Kevon Looney. Those five players, six players, combined for 40 points and 36 rebounds. That's effort. And that's guys stepping up when they need to. Klay Thompson had a big 15 points. Second night in the starting unit. Again, I think because of one, Pajemski hitting a little bit of a rookie wall and probably shouldn't be playing 30 to 35 minutes, but also because they're trying to get more spacing. They're trying to get more shooting. They're trying to get more offense on the floor. And Klay Thompson has still got something left in the tank. By the way, I know that there were times in which Cole Anthony was cooking in this game. I mean, he was giving it to Curry. He would give it to Chris Paul. Klay Thompson had one of the bigger stops of the night on Paolo Banchero. Klay Thompson was able to play up in a couple positions against few of the bigger forwards, Wagner, on the Orlando Magic in this game. I know he's not as great of a defender as he used to be, and quicker guards are going to go right around him in a hiccup, but he played up to his position tonight. And I thought Klay Thompson really, I mean, the entire team, and this is why it was such a team victory, in my opinion, and it was an important win, and it was a big win. After beating a Heat team that was depleted, you had an Orlando Magic team tonight that was at relative full strength that, by the way, I think had lost, two games in their last 10. They've been playing good basketball, and they just come off a win 2 games ago against New Orleans. They took Sacramento down to the wire on the road. This is an Orlando Magic team that's not bad by any means. They're going to get a first round. They're going to be out of the play-in tournament of the East, and that's something that the Warriors cannot say. So again, 888-957-9570. I see you on the YouTube chat. Where was it here? There was something that I saw that I really agreed with. In the meantime, let's get back out to the phone lines and get out to D in D.C. D in D.C., what's up, my man? How are you?
Come on, with you, Evan.
Yo.
Hey, before I get negative, let me just say this. Great game by Wiggins, finally. Great game by Clay. Great game by TJD. He's a superstar in the making. But now let's talk about Draymond. It is about time for Lacob to divorce himself from Clutch and Draymond. Draymond has got to go. Moving forward, if Lacob thinks Draymond is going to be a positive player, a positive individual within the league, he's sorely mistaken. A leopard can never change the spot. Draymond is who he is. And as he gets older, he's going to get even worse because he's losing his athleticism. He has back problems. He's already 6'4", trying to play a 7-foot position. He's playing out of position. Things that's going to count against him, right? And the only thing he can rely upon to play the game is his emotion. And I'm telling you right now, that emotion is going to continue to get him in trouble, and that trouble will continue to lose the Warriors a lot of games. So moving forward, they need to get rid of Draymond, period. Get rid of him. That's all I got, bro.
Thanks, DC. Appreciate you, my man. Hope you're having a good night out on the East Coast. Yeah, I think that is what we're getting a lot from people chiming in here. This was from earlier, Ned and Penny on YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Draymond's not cool with fighting for the 10th seed. I think he's explicitly stated that. So we don't give a damn about Houston. It's about us. But apparently it wasn't about us. It was about he. It was about me. It was about I tonight with Draymond. Because that again, is when you get ejected, that's what you're telling us. It's not about the team. There were multiple instances in which Draymond could have stopped, in which he could have just, I don't know, relied on whatever mental exercises that he purportedly learned during his, you know, his therapeutic, discovery during his 16-game suspension. I mean, I'm sure that there are different ways in which he's been able to sort of, I don't know, diffuse himself in situations of the past. And it was funny during, I think it was this week or last, but the afternoon show was talking about how Draymond's, you know, growth was palpable, how it was viewable. I never really bought it because I felt like there was going to be a situation in which he was presented with an opportunity of whether to listen to the devil on the left shoulder, the angel on the right shoulder. And I think he's made the right choice probably 95% of the time since he's come back, but when you have the track record that he does, again, this is the 21st ejection of his career. That's second most all-time in NBA history. That means you're missing a lot of games. That means you're hurting your team a lot of times. And he's especially done it this season. This is already his fourth ejection. The difference was tonight, the Warriors, and this is something that we're getting from the Comcast Business Text Line as well, from the 510, and I think I saw it on the YouTube chat as well, tonight made you think Draymond might be replaceable. Is he still the best defender on the team? Yes. No doubt about it. Are the Warriors, if they want to realize their potential and go as far as they possibly can in the playoffs, do they need Draymond Green this year? Yeah, they probably do. But looking forward, age 35, 36, 37, the next 3 years and the ages in which he's going to be under contract for, is Draymond Green replaceable? Tonight made you think he might be. I know that thought floated through my mind a couple of times tonight, and I've been a really big supporter of Draymond Green because I think he takes this team defensively into a different stratosphere. I think they didn't need as much of his defense tonight because Orlando couldn't buy a basket. They put the lid on the tin for most of the game, especially in the first quarter. But this game did make you think about life after Draymond, and I think it did, number one, because they won. They won in such an emotive and gut check type fashion, but I think it was also because of how Curry reacted to the ejection. And it was because of how just spent Steph Curry looked after Draymond left the game and how much he had to dig deep in order to help the Warriors. And Andrew Wiggins had to dig deep. The whole team had to dig deep. The compromising position that he put him in. They had to dig deep, and they got a win tonight. So if you want to refute that, I will hear you. Evan Giddings with you on 95.7 The Game. No, I didn't say that Green has two devils on his shoulder, 5-1-0. That's not what I'm talking about. But 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's get out. Look, let's talk about the hero of tonight, all right? The hero of tonight was Andrew Wiggins. Markham Milbrae, help me out. What do we got, all right? You're up. What's going on, man?
Yeah, what's up? Yeah, I'm just glad they won, so we don't have to hear nonstop about Draymond. Oh, we're going to just get endless Draymond hot takes going forward, and I'm going to tune them out. So it is what it is with him, but, you know, we're just used to it by now. They're not getting rid of him. They can't even get rid of Wiggins at the trade deadline. So I know you're going to get the endless Draymond hot takes, but I'm just going to tune those out. I wanted to talk about the huge win tonight. Finally, man, Wiggins, we know the X factor. We harp on that repeatedly because it's so damn true. He's one of the main reasons why they won the title 2 years ago, and he's been dropped off. I know he's got some personal issues, but a lot of guys do, and they're able to put those aside and perform. And unfortunately for him, it's been the problem his whole career outside of the playoff run there. And it obviously was huge. It ended up winning them the title. But he's been nonchalant. And, you know, like I said, they tried to get rid of him at the trade deadline. I honestly do think, I think Woj or somebody said, if that offer for Siakam was available, they would have made that deal. But I don't think they wanted to take on Wiggins' contract. But all in all, we know when this guy is right, he's locked in, focused, he's capable of balling out. That's why he's the number one pick, and he was a top high school prospect. But unfortunately, he doesn't have that dog in him to play at repeatedly. That's why he's never been really the superstar a lot of people projected him to be. So if he does show up, and we don't expect that often at him in stretches, that's because that's what we can expect out of him. Like tonight in the fourth quarter, that was probably, as you mentioned, as big of a game he's had probably in a year or so. So if he can show up like that at times, because with him, we're just going to say at stretches because we know we can't rely on him to do that repeatedly. We can get that, especially with Kuminga out tonight and short man. Obviously, Draymond getting ejected early. They needed that. And this Orlando team is a very good team. And I think they're the number one defensive rated team. So with their size matchups, normally the Warriors will really struggle against to beat a team like this, like the Lakers, for example. So to pull this off and obviously beating a Miami team, I know they're not the same Miami team, but still beating Miami in Miami and then being a tough Orlando team on a back-to-back, it was looking all bleak after that T-Wolves loss. But now look at going forward here, and finally I'm going to close out with this. You got an awful Charlotte team, and I'm expecting them to show up and win that game. And then you got a Spurs team, which I know they got Wimby, and they did lose to that team, but I think they can beat that team. So as bleak as it looked, hey, I'm expecting the 9 or 10 seed. It's probably more likely 10 seed. I'll get your thoughts on that. Look, this team on the road, I feel good about them. At home, not so much, which is wacky to say because I think they're the only team out of the top 10 teams in either conference who has a losing home record and a winning road record. So I'm feeling good, man. Hey, was looking bleak at that Minnesota loss, the way they gagged it away, but they bounced back with two huge wins and hopefully with two more to come before they come back home. Thanks for the time, man.
Right on, Mark. Appreciate it. Yep. No, I think, look, Wiggins was huge tonight. By the way, the game in Houston, OKC, it's going to overtime. Shout out Jalen Williams. Hit a 26-footer with 4.1 seconds left to send that game to overtime. I think we're all Oklahoma City Thunder fans this evening. And so the Warriors right now are a game and a half up on OKC, or pardon me, on the Houston Rockets for the 10 seed. As it stands, two games back of Los Angeles and the Lakers. And that is for the 9 seed because the Lakers, of course, took care of business against Memphis earlier on this evening, 136-124. But this is Warriors wrap-up here on 95.7 The Game. Final score 101-93, talking about Andrew Wiggins, talking about Steph Curry, giving a much-needed night-night to the Orlando Magic, kicking a chair at the end of the game, maybe perhaps trying to start a fire under this team or whatever's left of the rest of this season as they make a push for the play-in and then ideally the playoffs, whatever's left in this season. It's all in front of the Warriors. But either way, tonight was an important win. And it's funny, you talked about the Heat. I didn't think the game yesterday was necessarily a great win for the Warriors. It was just a win. They just had to win games. I mean, they were down Hero. They were down Butler. They were down Duncan Robinson. They were down, I want to say, a couple of other rotation players. Kevin Love was out as well. No, that win was not impressive to me at all. But the win tonight validates last night because Orlando was at full strength. Orlando is a quality opponent, and you played them on the road on the second night of a back-to-back, and you beat them without your best defensive player, and you beat them without your second-best offensive option in Jonathan Kuminga. That, to me, is impressive as they try and round out this road trip with two very winnable games against Charlotte on Friday and then on Sunday against San Antonio. So, not putting it past anyone that this team is not going to come cratering back down to earth as they've shown us over the last couple of weeks, but something about this win tonight felt different. It felt emotive. It felt gutsy. It felt like a game in which the Warriors wanted to win. But for some reason, in these situations in recent memory, they haven't been able to get. Tonight, they got it. And they got it because of Wiggins. They got it because of Curry. They got it because of the rookies. They got it because of GP2's hustle, because of Moses Moody's hustle, because of Looney's heart. They got it because of a full team victory. Klay Thompson also aiding the offensive effort as well. Let's sneak in a call before we got to take a break. We'll get to Steve Kerr on the other side. Evan Giddings with you here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. Let's go to our guy Drew Down and Tracy. Drew Down, what's going on, my man? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Evan? Hey, man, sorry about Saturday, man. I couldn't make it. Apparently the wife had plans that she swore she told me about. But anyways, I digest. Shout out Lo'Neal. That was a big win tonight. Back-to-back, Miami-Orlando. I'm not sure the last time this team won in Miami and Orlando back-to-back. So, a big back-to-back road wins. I hate to say it, but I got to start off with Draymond, man. I logged off work at 4:30. I checked the box score. I saw him off the court. Didn't think nothing of it. Hopped on Twitter and saw he got ejected. Man, 4 minutes into the game, bro, I was on hold longer than Draymond was in the game tonight. So that's just there's just no excuse for that, bro. No excuse. Curry looked distraught. I'm not gonna say he was crying. People are saying that he just looked upset. Like it's like this is a big game, man, to get ejected 4 minutes into the game. And there was it wasn't like he got into a tussle or nothing like that. It was just him. Just couldn't stop talking. And to me, when I watched it back, it almost felt like he wanted to get kicked out. He just kept talking, then kept walking right to the locker room. So just no excuse for that, man. And I've been a big Draymond supporter, but at the end of the day, it's like, man, Draymond's a cat, man. He's got 9 lives. This guy just keeps pushing it, pushing the envelope. I don't want to overreact and say, he's gone. I don't want to do that. But just on a night tonight where – I mean, I think he kind of let him off the hook. Shout out Dennis Green with the win tonight. But, it was just a game that we really needed. And with Kuminga out, just come on, Draymond. You got to be smarter than that. But at the end of the day, man, let's shout out Andrew Wiggins. That's the kind of dude we need. That's the 2022 Wiggins. I thought coming into the season, I thought we really needed Wiggins to be that number two. I know Kuminga's been kind of the number two guy, but I don't think Kuminga's quite ready to be the number two, on a high level just quite yet. I love Kuminga. Sky's the limit. But the kind of game Wiggins had tonight, especially the fourth quarter, the energy, the aggression, the driving, the relentlessness to the basket, Curry can't do it all every single night. He needs other guys to step up. And I thought Wiggins really answered the call tonight. He was great on defense in the fourth. So, yeah, shout out Wiggins. That's the kind of performance we needed. A lot of other ancillary pieces stepped up. I thought GP2 was good. Moody with that big, putback. I thought Trayce Jackson-Davis gave great minutes tonight. Klay made shots. A lot of guys chipped in. Great win. And my final thought is Steph Curry, night-night. Thanks, Evan.
Thanks, Drew Down. We'll say night-night for a moment. Step aside and come back on the other side. Taking your calls about an emotive, I think about an urgent, and I think about a gutsy win in Orlando. Again, first time they've beaten the Magic in Orlando, weirdly enough, since 2017. The Warriors move 4 games above 500, now 20 road wins on the season. 101-93 is the final score. We'll step aside, come back. I see you, Sean, in San Francisco. Please hang on through the break. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors Wrap-Up. Back after this, 95.7 The Game.
Takes it far side. Suggs with him step for step. Curry, left-hand dribble, stops, shoots a three off the dribble, got it! Curry! Stephen Curry has been out of sorts all night, but he's hit back-to-back big-time buckets, and that's what a superstar does.
Now back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, that was Patton and Steph. Tim Roy on the call in Orlando as the Warriors defeat the Magic 101-93. That was Patton and Steph. And the shot that he was talking about before might have even been sweeter. He had the step-back three with 33.8, night-night down the court, kicking the chair, lighting a fire under the Dubs as they grab a much-needed road victory, the 20th, by the way, of the season, nearly double the 11 they got last year. But then right before, two possessions before, 109 left, Curry takes Wagner off the bounce, crosses him over, gets into the body of Banchero, and then floats it up off the window with gusto. I mean, Curry was the guy who ended the game, but the one who carried them there, who they ran the offense through, and Curry even said it after the game, was number 22 Andrew Wiggins, was two-way Wiggs. And I would call him that tonight because that's what he was. That was the best game that Andrew Wiggins has played since Game 6 of the 2022 NBA Finals. Given the circumstances, given the situation, given the men that they were down, Kuminga, their second-best scorer, second half of this season, Draymond Green, who got ejected 3 minutes and 36 seconds in, he got himself ejected, and he's their best defensive player. They needed Wiggins to replace Kuminga's offense and Draymond Green's defense. And while it's a tall task to do both, I think Wiggins came as close as possible to checking both of those boxes. And so we got to tip our cap to a guy who has been much maligned throughout this year, who is, I'm sure, still going through a lot of personal things at home that forced him to miss multiple games due to personal reasons, that has had an up-and-down season, that has been relegated to the bench, that has been benched in fourth quarters of games, that has been back now in the starting lineup, that has found himself committed to a pairing with Kuminga along with Draymond Green. That has been a big reason why the Warriors ran off 15 of 19 because the front court started playing more consistently. And while Wiggins has been up and down, as has this Warriors team, tonight, when they needed him, he answered the call. Just like I thought Moses Moody and Kevon Looney, who have been out of the rotation, answered the call. Klay Thompson, moving back into the starting lineup as of last night, answered the call against Miami and tonight against Orlando. Curry answered the call down the stretch of a game that he was not shooting well in, that he had to play 35 minutes on a back-to-back. TJD answered the call, stepping into the starting lineup, playing 33 minutes, grabbing 14 rebounds. I thought everyone up and down this roster answered the call tonight when Draymond Green went down with an ejection and two technical fouls that he should not have gotten, and as he hand-strung this team, as he put them in a compromised position, everyone was forced to step up, and they did. And that's why I think tonight was a resilient win, it was emotive, and it was obviously an important victory because the Houston Rockets just beat OKC in OKC to win their 10th consecutive game, and they remain a game back of the Golden State Warriors for the 10th seed in the Western Conference. If the Warriors don't win that game tonight, yes, we're crushing Draymond, we're talking all this, we're talking that, but it would be an understandable loss because of what happened. It also means that the Houston Rockets will be tied for you for the 10th spot in the play-in tournament, a place that the Warriors never felt like they were going to be in the first place as the season looked like it was going to continue to crumble. This is a potential game that we could look back at and say that might have been the reason why the Warriors are able to sneak into this thing and try and make something of a season that has been an absolute roller coaster ride. All right, Evan Giddings with you on 95.7 The Game. Warriors wrap up right here after the win against the Magic, back-to-back road wins. Warriors, by the way, now 10-5 on the tail end of back-to-backs. When they play with no rest, they are 10-5 this year. Kind of interesting. Curry had to play heavy minutes. Wiggins had to play heavy minutes. A lot of players had to play heavy minutes, but they defeat the Magic. I promised Sean we'd get to him before the break. So let's do that. Sterling, can we get Sean in San Francisco? My man, how are you? What's going on, Sean?
Good, good. Can you hear me?
I got you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. You know, I just wanted to comment about Draymond Green. I mean, I've been a huge Warriors fan. I've rode with this team since the 90s. Obviously, the last 10 years has just been amazing. Great win tonight. But this Draymond stuff is just getting absolutely ridiculous. I mean, I know we're stuck with the guy for the next couple years. No team's going to want him. But let's be honest. I mean, this guy has helped us win championships, but he's also cost him championships. I mean, he cost us in 2016. He ran out Durant. He ran out Poole. I mean, it's just at this point, it's getting ridiculous. And I feel like the ownership is a little bit on some of his teammates. I mean, you never heard from Kerr about this. He never makes a comment. He's never even benched him or done anything to punish him in any way. And I think right now, I think the best thing that Kerr can do is just put him on the bench for the next couple games and tell him he's absolutely sick of this. And the team needs to step up and start talking to him, because this is just ridiculous. I mean, how many more players is he going to run out of town? That's it.
Thanks, Sean. No, I'll say this, and I harbored these thoughts before this happened. It was probably around the time he got suspended, but like, just because he's under contract for three more years doesn't mean he's going to retire in Golden State necessarily. I don't think that's a given. I think the only guy's future that's set for the Warriors, that's Steph Curry. Everyone else, I heard Shams Charania at the trade deadline saying everyone's on the table outside of 30. I think it's going to be the same way this summer, assuming the Warriors don't make a miraculous run, which, even though they did have a nice win tonight, I don't think that they're going to all of a sudden just roll off a postseason series win if they can even get through the play-in tournament and probably have to win two road elimination games. So in the big picture, yes, this keeps them out of Houston's way, or a game up on Houston, I should say. But it's not all of a sudden like I'm just thinking, oh, well, you know, Draymond is, and his future is secure in Golden State. I don't think anybody's future is secure in Golden State outside of Stephen Curry, because this kind of season has opened my eyes in many ways as to where the direction of this franchise wants to go or should be going. And I think it's got to be a choice, in my opinion, between Curry, who's 36, or I should say, you know, the elder statesman, or the younger players, and trying to leaning more towards them while supplementing Curry. And there's a lot of tough choices. Klay Thompson is going to be a free agent this summer. One thing that went through my mind again, and it's gone through my mind throughout the entire year, the fact that Klay Thompson might not be here next year and Draymond Green will be here for three more years, that to me just seems kind of unfair. Now, Klay Thompson's been inconsistent throughout the season as well, and he's had a lot of off nights, but at least he's been available. At least I know that he's going to be there every game. At least I know that he's not going to get ejected or suspended or put his team in a compromising situation. The Warriors got a lot of problems that are still left to be solved, or answers, questions that they need answered. But tonight, again, I understand it's one game, but this type of antic, this type of decision that's made by Draymond and its emotional outburst, it's just another reminder that it can't be corrected. You never know when the fire is going to start and if he's going to be able to put it out. You just can't count on it. And at age 33 or 34, how much longer do you want to continue to do that? Because he is still important to this team, but not if he's missing 30 games a year due to suspensions or different injuries, or, I mean, is the juice worth the squeeze is the question that the Warriors are going to have to ask themselves over the last couple of seasons with Draymond. And I think a lot of people are kind of fed up with it. I'm not necessarily there yet, but I have been closer than I ever have been before. And the fact that, again, the Warriors won tonight, I understand Orlando's not a great offensively driven team, but this is the first time that they've won a game in which Draymond has been ejected from. I don't think that's insignificant. That shows to me that they can win a game like this without him, that they could even win a game like this without Kuminga. And that's where it's been so frustrating, and I think Curry said this after the game too. They know Draymond Green's integral. They know that he's important if they want to go as far as possible this year, but it didn't sound or look to me like in the moment that they felt like they could rely on this dude, because once more, he chose himself over the team, and that's happened far too often in recent memory for me to just put aside. And if you feel differently about it, I'm more than happy to hear from you. 888-957-9570. Before we get to Steve Kerr and our hardest worker of the game, it sounds like Lonnie in Petaluma wants to rebuke that. So, Lonnie, what's going on? The floor is yours. You're on Warriors Wrap-Up at 95.7 The Game. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm great. I'm great. You're doing an excellent job. And I just want to say I've been a fan through the tough times, you know?
Yep.
Dollar Wednesdays, cheering for the free Jumbo Jack. You know, I've been all a part of that. And we cannot forget Draymond Green helped win championships. And we cannot forget that Jonathan Kuminga's growth. He had come out and he said, Draymond Green has been an integral part of that. Yes, he does things that we don't agree on. But what? Are people perfect? Do people not make mistakes? He's the firecracker of the team. And then you know, these fans, these little washed up, want to, you know, jump on the bandwagon fans, they come out, oh, Andrew Wiggins, he doesn't show enough heart. And then Draymond Green, he shows too much heart. It's like, what are you guys doing? You guys are getting too nitpicky. Let's celebrate the fact that the Warriors won. Any win is a win, and it should be celebrated. Number one. And then secondly, the refs in the NBA are junk. Chris Paul got kicked out of the game with 6 seconds left because he called somebody a TikToker. Come on, Scott Foster? You know, he had 2-hour phone calls with Donahue after this game. Don't tell me that dude's not suspicious, right? Like, these guys, we got part-time refs trying to do a full-time job. That's the problem, number one. Nobody should get kicked out that quickly. You know, let's start there, okay? He's got a reputation. What was Dennis Rodman to the Chicago Bulls? He was wild. The guy was partying in Vegas. He had sex in Phil Jackson's office with Carmen Electra, right? And they won. He's not the problem. Teams need to overcome. Maybe the problem is they're just not a championship team this year. And we need to stop doing the blame game after every single game, right? We are fans. We should support our team, show them love. We can be critical, you know? There's times, Steve Kerr, bad decision. Why did you pull that guy out of the game? Why didn't you leave him in? Absolutely, right? But come on, man. It's an 82-game season. Let them play the 82 games. It's not that easy. Look at the Lakers. They got the GOAT. They got AD. They're looking at a play-in, right? What are people saying about him? Oh, he's not good enough anymore? You washed? The dude still got 22.5 points, right? You get what I'm saying, Evan?
I got you, Lonnie. No, I got you. I hear you. It is a long season. But what I'm reacting to, or what I'm being critical of, and I appreciate the call. I appreciate your honesty. What I'm being critical of are cold, hard facts. You're right. It is a long season. And you're right. Draymond Green is a four-time champion. And he has given myself and every fan or anyone who's been emotionally connected to the Warriors, whether it's been 2 years ago or whether it has been 40 years ago, he's given every Warriors fan a plenty of moments to be happy about and reflect on. It's 2024, my man. And I know someone like Dennis Rodman was outlandish and he was crazy and he did zany things. You know how many times Dennis Rodman got ejected from basketball games? 12. You know what tonight's ejection number was for Draymond Green in his career? 21. Think about that. Draymond Green has been ejected almost twice as many times as Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman was off the walls, but he knew where the line was. At least enough to not get run as many times as Draymond Green. That is incredible. So what I'm being critical of is a guy whose actions have gotten expeditiously more extreme over the course of his career. Rodman was also there all the time. He also gave you 20 rebounds a night. Not that Draymond doesn't give you the best defense that the Warriors can throw out there because he's their best player. But again, this has gotten more frequent over time in a place where you're right, Lonnie. This isn't a championships team. I'm not going to sit up here in front and say the Warriors are all of a sudden just going to win the title. Hell, I don't even know if they can win a playoff series. They might not win a play-in game because of the Lakers, who you're talking about, are also in the play-in. But to sit up here and just gloss over the fact that Draymond Green has once again compromised the Warriors and has not placed them in compromising situations with more frequency as of late over the last 2 years, he himself said he blew up a season with a punch. I would like to think that throughout this year, he probably shares some of the blame, if not most of the blame, for the ups and downs of this team because he has not been here. And that's because of his choices. That's because of his actions. Yeah, the refs are maybe a little soft. You know what? Sorry. That's what happens when you get ejected 21 times. That's what happens when you get indefinitely suspended for choking people, for stepping on people, for kicking people. And yes, this isn't a referendum on his entire life, But if I'm looking at what the Warriors are going to be, I would like to assume that one of their most important players is going to be available. And that has not been the case often enough for me, for a guy that is going to be here for three more years, that is making $100 million. I'm sorry. That's what me being critical is. And I think that's what we're going to hear a lot of tomorrow, even though you're right. It should be about the win. It should be about Andrew Wiggins, who I thought once more played his best game since the 2002 NBA Finals. We got two-way Wiggs tonight, the two-way Wiggs that we've been clamoring for, that we've been wanting, that we have been just fiending to see, and we got it tonight. Curry gave Orlando the night-night. Klay Thompson was solid. The rookies were good. TJD looks like someone who could be in the starting lineup one day, averaging nearly a double-double. I mean, you're right. There are a lot of great things about this game. But to me, the great things stand out about this game because of the place that Draymond Green put them in, down their second-best score already on the second night of a back-to-back, in the midst of a five-game stretch in 7 days with a primarily older team. You need your best players to be out there to give yourself the best position to win. Tonight, if the Warriors didn't win, they would be tied with the Houston Rockets for the 10th seed in the West. They would be on the verge of being a lottery team without a lottery pick because they don't have a draft pick. They would be staring up at the 11th seed. They might be out of the play-in tournament completely. And yes, the 10 seed's not where they want to be. And maybe that's something I also learned about Draymond. I do believe him. He don't give a damn about the 10 seed. If he did, he wouldn't have got ejected from the game tonight. I believe that. You know why? Because we saw Steph care about the 10 seed. We saw Klay Thompson care about the 10 seed. We saw Kevon Looney, who hasn't been playing a lick as of late, care about the 10 seed. We saw older players on this team, or players with miles on their legs, give a damn about this game. And Draymond didn't. I'm sorry. That's what I'm being critical of. When Curry is on the verge of tears in the first quarter to the point where he's kicking a chair at the end of the game after a win, that's someone who looks to me like he cares. That's all I'm asking for. Show me that you care. Care enough to stay on the court in a game you gotta win. I'm sorry. This, at the end of the season, is not where I'd like to be looking at a player who, you're right, has been labeled, and perhaps still is in his own mind, the heartbeat of this team. Three more seasons under contract. You're telling me we got to do this dance for three more years? Either he's got to change, which there isn't much evidence to believe that he will, or the Warriors might have to think about what they're going to do with him, whether it's this season, whether it's next season, whether it's the one after that. I don't know. All I think is that Draymond Green, during his therapeutic time off, tonight, I felt like he didn't learn anything. I didn't. He can tell me he did. He can talk as hotly as he wants about his growth and his development and his love for his brothers and how he's gotten his voice back and how he can be a defensive star and he can be this and he can be that. You got to show me. You got to show me. He has helped us win titles. Carlos Guido on YouTube, I'm with you. And I'm with you. Now it doesn't look like he cares all that much enough for the Warriors to be successful. And I don't think this is a title team. I also think he's kind of why. And nights like tonight are unfortunate, stark reminders that it ain't just what it used to be, man. That you can't get ejected from games. That you can't get run. You can't put your team in a compromising position because Andrew Wiggins might not be there to do what he did tonight. Because Curry might not be able to do what he did down the stretch of the game tonight. And you might be out of the play-in tournament completely in a place that the Warriors have not been since they started winning titles. Mediocrity and irrelevancy. That's where they would have been, tied with the Houston Rockets, if they'd lost this game tonight. And that's where they might be by the end of the season. I don't know. But that's why tonight was an important win, and I think is an outpouring of emotion from a lot of fans on social media, people that have called in, people that are texting in. It's just really hard to figure out. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings with you on Warriors Live. This is from the 925. It's not that he doesn't care. It's that he's entitled. He's taken care of. The sense of entitlement. And he can't control himself when things don't go his way. Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. I mean, he's been entitled, you know, since he got his first big contract starting winning championships. And he to be fair, he also earned that. I mean, he did. DPOY, four-time champ. Big reason why the Warriors are a dynasty. Draymond Green is second, third, fourth fiddle, however you want to slice it up. He's a very important part of this. He's going to have his jersey in the Raptors one day. But right now, tonight he hurt the Warriors. And that's what we're reacting to at 95.7 The Game. Before we get to Steve Kerr, Rich is out in Fremont. Rich, what's going on? You're on with Evan on 95.7 The Game. How are you?
Evan, thanks for taking my call, man. You know what? I believe you are spot on, sir. I like Draymond Green. I really do. I think that when he focuses on his game, the Warriors play better. And Steph needs him. But on a night like tonight, you saw Steph. Okay, he put up some points, but he wasn't Steph. Okay, and he hit shots when we really needed down the stretch, and that was nice because that's been in Stephen Curry. But at the end of the day, hey, Draymond, if you're the engine of this, guess what? You're of no use if you're not on the floor. Mm-hmm. So really, at the end of the day, it's like, hey, you've been in the league long enough. You've had a storied, you know, career with the Warriors, and the Warriors know your story. Your fan base knows your story, and guess what? If you're closing out your career, this is not the way to do it. It's not. I'm sorry. Look, Draymond, no matter what you say right now, get on your podcast, whatever, this is not a good look for you. Because you've done this periodically throughout your career. The Warriors have been patient. The fan base has been patient. And it's just like, dude, come on. Get with the program. You have to be what you're supposed to be to this team, a leader. Okay, and what you did today, that you were not leading. What you're doing is you're sending mixed signals to the team right now, and it's just not good. It's not a good look. Thanks, Evan.
Appreciate it, Rich. Yeah, no, and I think also, too, I'm not to this point yet, but I think there are a lot of people that are, you know, maybe younger, maybe new Warriors fans, and we just had Lonnie calling a few moments ago say to hell with them. But this is part of it, too. If this level of frequency of action or antic continues to follow Draymond, and I have no reason to believe or evidence to believe that it's all of a sudden going to turn off like a faucet, there's a lot of people that are going to remember Draymond for the bad times that are not going to give him his credit or his due, and that are going to in one breath say this is a four-time champ and a Hall of Famer and a transcendent defensive star that was the heartbeat and anchor of what the Warriors were able to do for the better part of 12 years. In one breath, they'll say that. In the other breath, they'll say, this guy was a problem child. This guy couldn't control himself. This guy couldn't keep himself in an emotional state that was level-headed and balanced. And yeah, in one point in his career when he was very, very good, that was a reason why perhaps he was awesome, and we just kind of glossed over it. And now it's starting to come up a lot. And how do you look at Draymond and his legacy? Is it a double-sided sword? I think there's going to be more of that if this continues to happen. And again, I hope it doesn't. Draymond Green was the first ever jersey I bought of a Warriors player. I used to love Draymond Green. I loved watching him play. I still do. When he's on the floor and when he decides that he doesn't want to get ejected, those are the things that I don't really know how to wrestle with. And I think that people deal with it all the time. I mean, I was on air when he choked out Rudy Gobert, but I also did the post game in which he hit Yusuf Nurkic with a spinning back fist. And I was pissed off because I felt like he was going to be missing time because I felt like he was going to be hurting the team. And while I would hope that he's not going to get suspended for what happened tonight, I'm sure he also probably had a long chat with Joe Dumars and the league office and probably the Warriors and whoever else he needed to talk to around the NBA and the team. And they told him, you can't do this anymore. The antics have got to stop. He's the first person that I can remember that got indefinitely suspended in recent memory outside of Ja Morant. And you don't want to be in the same breath or sentence with Ja Morant for very obvious reasons. So whether it was extreme, whether it was proper, whether it was light, I don't know where you come down on it, but that to me is why, you know, that's one of the major reasons why this season has been such a seesaw affair. All right. We got one of our favorites on the line. Actually, I'm looking forward to this. Robin is in San Francisco. Robin, how are you? You want to talk about Draymond? What's up?
Child, you know I can't stand Draymond Green. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Robin. It was a great win tonight.
It's a great win, but it's my opportunity to dog him out, okay? Yeah. Well, I always dog him out. My kids told me the other day, they said, oh, Mama, you know, they know how to get me going, Evan. I'm going to turn off the heater. He said, when you get old, you be cold, boy. So he said, Mama. What I really said, I can't say it. But they say, Mama, Draymond Green had a good game. I said, yeah, his B.A. did. Oh. And my kids hit the floor laughing. They said, Mama, you the same, no matter what. We started laughing. If you could figure out what B.A. means. Listen, Draymond, I would tell you the story. My ex, who's now deceased, sister, who I love, is a cold piece of work, Evan. Okay, she is, though. And he said to me one time, yeah, I know, I helped create that monster. And so I say that the Warriors helped create that monster, okay? And I can't believe the fan before last or whatever talking about, you know, how the refs are soft. Draymond Green feels entitled. No one's held him ever accountable for his actions on the court. And I don't know where he gets his superiority attitude from, that, you know, he can do anything and it's okay, you know, and an organization that lets him get away with it. The one thing why I don't have any more respect for Draymond Green is because of the year he quit on the team and how I can't believe Warrior fans give him a pass for that and continuously try to justify his actions. That's all I got to say, and I hope you have a nice evening. And Sterling, go make that baby. Bye.
Thanks, Robin. Good to hear from you. Sterling, I think that's something between you two, and I'm going to leave that there. In the meantime, how about we segue to Steve Kerr? How about that? It's a hell of a transition. Here's what the head coach of the Golden State Warriors had to say after the win.
It was a gutsy effort, you know, in tough circumstances, back-to-back, you know, losing Draymond early. And the guys just competed for 48. And obviously we need every game we can get right now. So that's why everybody was pretty emotional.
What did you think about the Draymond ejection?
Yeah, too bad. It was unfortunate. He deserved it. You know, he'll bounce back. I'm just proud of the guys for stepping up. Moses came off the bench, had a big game for us. Guy made a big three. You know, Gary was fantastic. So we had guys step up, and that's what it takes.
Particularly from Steph, just they just play on the emotions. I mean, from the moment Draymond got ejected, he'd be very emotional. The night, keeping the defense after he hit that shot. Are there common, or like a thread through the game where Steph shows this heightened amount of emotion that you've seen?
I don't know. That's a tough question for me to answer. I mean, Steph is the ultimate competitor. It wasn't his best night, but he showed who he is by hitting the dagger on a night when his shot wasn't going. So he was emotional because our team needed the win.
You talked a couple days ago about how proud you were of Draymond. Is this a road confidence or anything he's done over the last?
No.
You have hold on from field goal to the center. You have a 92-point game last night defensively, 93 tonight. Has there been any adjustment? What was the approach for the guys mentally? And most importantly, when you miss Kuminga and Raymond leaves
yeah.
the game.
Yeah. Guys, there was no adjustment. Guys are just playing really, really hard. Competing really well. We're doing a good job of taking care of the ball and defending without fouling, although tonight we got in some early fouls, foul trouble. But for the most part, we're giving ourselves a chance to win by, rebounding well, taking care of the ball, and defending really, really hard, and just trying to find enough points to win.
We saw Steph being more of a true standard point guard tonight, and getting all the guys involved, and you see Andrew had a great game too.
Yeah.
You mentioned a couple of the guys. How effective is your offense when he's involved in distributing the game like that?
When Wiggins?
Steph is distributing the ball like he did tonight.
Yeah, and taking care of it. 10 assists, 2 turnovers.
Yeah,
that's a huge stat for him and for us. And I thought in the first half he was trying too hard, and then I thought in the second half he just played a cleaner game. He made the nice pass to Guy for the 3 where, he could have tried to attack, but he was open. And I thought, for on a night when, Steph was not at his best, he did a great job as the point guard of distributing and leading us with poise in the second half.
Andrew with 13 in the fourth quarter. Just what kind of rhythm is he starting to find?
Wiggs was fantastic. Just stepped up and made one big play after another at both ends. Had the big block near the end on Wagner, but made big shots, got to the line, attacked. Wiggs was fantastic.
It seemed like you've done that. You mentioned the rebounding earlier. It seemed like a lot of those trades, Moses.
Yeah.
How big was that, particularly the offense?
Moses had a really big one, when it felt like the momentum was shifting to their side, and he came in, got an offensive board, and I think Clay hit the 3 off of it. I thought that was a big play. 52-39 on the glass, that's important. We've always felt like if we can win the possession game or at least be even, then we're going to be in good shape. And I think the rebounding really helped in that regard tonight.
That was Steve Kerr after the win. So obviously he addressed Draymond. He said he deserved it, and I don't think anybody would refute that. But I also think what he honed in on was what everyone else essentially had to do. Like, the rest of the team had to carry the load that Draymond left at the 3-minute, 36-second mark of the game. And with Jonathan Kuminga being out, I think all eyes were on Wiggins. Like, one question that I had written down right before the game was, it wasn't about Draymond, but it was about JK. Like, the Warriors, it's interesting because Kuminga's pretty much been an Iron Man for them this year, and when he's been available throughout really the entirety of his first 3 seasons. This is just the second game that he's missed, and the first since, I think it was late October. So Kuminga's been available, and as of, I would say, the midway mark of this season, he's been really consistent offensively. So how would the Warriors be able to make up for that lack of offense against the number 3 defense in the league, being the Orlando Magic? Well, they turned to Andrew Wiggins. And yes, they played defense too. They only allowed 93 points. That was a big part of it as well. But I also thought the fact that Curry wasn't able, whether it's because of age or attrition or mileage or whatever, I thought that this was going to be a really tough matchup for him, and he was going to need some help. And the fact that Curry had a 10 assist to 2 turnover ratio to me was very impressive playing 35 minutes. The 17 points, got the 2 big last buckets, crossing up Wagner, going at Paolo, and then, of course, hitting the wing 3 and the night-night dagger to send it away. But the Magic were doubling him. There was one play even. Curry's talking about a second chance opportunity and a kick out to Clay. There was a kick out where Curry got it, and like 3 members of the Magic ran at him. I mean, he was seeing doubles. Felt like one time he saw a triple tonight, but Curry was able to still close the door. He was able to still summon enough. And I thought tonight was a perfect encapsulation of how the Warriors can still be very successful with Curry against a quality opponent, which is, he's not going to be able to carry them against an elite defense for 35 or 36 minutes. But if you can help get him to the finish line, or if you can supplement some of the fall off throughout, kind of intermittently throughout the game, he's still good enough in moments or in stretches to get you over the top, to be the best. Curry might not be the best player on the floor for 48 minutes anymore, but he can be the best player on the floor for 2 minutes at a time, for 4 minutes at a time, for 6 minutes at a time, for heck, maybe even for a full quarter. Do I think he can sustain it game after game over the course of the 48? No, I don't think he's there anymore. And I don't think that's fair to ask of him at age 36, and he'll be 37 next year. But he can still be the best player on a floor at the end of a game if someone like Wiggins, who tonight I thought was the hero of the game, can get you 13 in the fourth quarter, can play lockup defense on the other side, can also help you rebound. And that's where someone like Kuminga ideally would be able to, you know, aid Wiggins, who then in turn is aiding Curry. So that's why I also felt like tonight was a massive team victory. And you keep off the Rockets, who are a game back still of the 10 seed. You maintain your two-game deficit on the Los Angeles Lakers, who beat Memphis tonight. But they got the contributions from TJD, who had to step into the starting five. From Pajemski, who's been relegated back to the bench, but is still doing Pajemski things. He's still grabbing rebounds at a high clip. He's still moving the basketball. He's apparently back to hitting hook shots. He's back to hitting floaters, even though he didn't make a three. Gary Payton II probably had to play more at the four tonight because Draymond was out, but I thought Gary had some classic GP2 plays. You know, he had some putbacks. They lost track of him. He was able to operate from the dunker spot offensively. He's able to play good on-ball defense on the defensive side. Kevon Looney was also impressive and a guy that had to play last night too because Draymond was in foul trouble against Miami. But Kevon Looney, now in a role in which he's probably the 10th, 11th man, might be asked to play 10 to 15 minutes if something happens like it did tonight. And he also stepped up. The combination of TJD, Pajemski, Moody, Payton, and Looney combined for 40 points and 36 rebounds. The Warriors don't win that game without that production. And of course, Klay Thompson added 15 points. Doing all this, by the way, where I think Klay has displayed, and I've come down his road throughout this season for being a little selfish. I think Klay Thompson has been very selfless down the stretch of this season. Now, is that going to manifest itself in a long-term, you know, $100 million deal with the Warriors? I don't think so. But I think he's made himself marketable for the Warriors or for perhaps another team, if that's what ends up being the case, as a guy who's not afraid to fluctuate in his role that can become off the bench but can also can start when you need or can play 30 minutes from time to time and can space the floor and can knock down shots still. Might not be the defender he used to be, but a couple times in this game, he stayed in front of Banchero. He's able to keep Wagner in front and not get beat off the dribble. Someone like Cole Anthony, he's going right by him. But Anthony was also going around Curry. He was also, there was one possession. He just took Chris Paul to school. It was just a 1-2 crossover. He was at the rim. So, you know, Klay is not as fleet of foot as he used to be, but he's still serviceable. And the fact that he's been, I think, more selfless with his role has been impressive to me. That kind of selflessness, I hate to say it, is something that we have not seen as much from Draymond, and especially did not tonight. So, again, I think that overall this was a big win for the Warriors. Number one, because you know you got a tough win on the road. Number two, I thought it validated the back-to-back win that they got last night in Miami. I think the fact you could go 2-1 to start this five-game road trip gives you a really good shot to go 4-1, a place you apparently need to be because Houston can't lose a game. They just won their 10th consecutive game in a row by beating the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander-less Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. Who knows if they're going to ever find themselves in the loss column. The Warriors got to continue to stack W's. They got Charlotte on Friday. I think that's a 4:30 tip. Sunday is also a 4:30 tip in San Antonio. Both of those will be right here on 95.7 The Game. And so as we kind of wind down here on Warriors wrap-up, if you got any last thoughts, 888-957-957 is the number. For the 510, stopped acting like the Dubs lost tonight. I'm not acting like they lost. I hate the tone is coming off as negative. I think this is one of the most impressive wins of this season. I mean, yeah, from the 6-5-0, the defense, keeping Miami and the Magic to under 100 points two nights in a row. Well, they allowed 11 points in the first quarter. I thought a lot of that is because the Magic couldn't buy a bucket. But you're right. I mean, Miami was down four rotation players last night. But Orlando's a team that can get to the free throw line. In fact, does get to the free throw line at an extremely high clip. And tonight, they did so, got 21-13, but they missed 10 free throws, so they couldn't take advantage of them. You know, I thought the Warriors also didn't hurt themselves by taking pretty good care of the basketball. The number that I generally like to see is, you know, 12 or less turnovers. They had 26 assists. Curry had 10 of them. I didn't think Paul had a great game tonight off the bench, but he's someone that generally aids in that area of being able to take care of the basketball. No, I don't think I'm acting like tonight was a loss. Tonight was a win, but it's an important win because of the loss on the floor that you suffered early in the basketball game. And that's why I was really impressed by the rest of the team stepping up and carrying the water of Draymond. I was just disappointed that they had to do it in the first place and that they've had to do it throughout the majority, well, not the majority, but of a lot of this season, in my opinion, unnecessarily, because he can't keep a calm and cool, collected head. That's just the ropes. Them's the facts, actually. But the Golden State Warriors nonetheless defeat the Orlando Magic 101-93. That will wind down this edition of Warriors wrap-up. My name is Evan Giddings. I do want to shout out the YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union. And I also do want to shout out our Comcast business text line. Everyone that called in tonight. Look, I know we went a little bit long this evening, but I think it was because it was an important victory. Keeps the Warriors right where they need to be, which is challenging for a play-in spot. And trying to make something of the rest of the season, because that's really all they can do at this point in the year. They got 10 games left. They got two of which coming up on the road. Charlotte, 4 o'clock, in fact. Sorry, I apologize for the tip. And Warriors Live is going to be right here on 95.7 The Game at 3 o'clock. And then on Sunday, 4 o'clock in San Antonio. Same time for Warriors Live, 3 o'clock. Mark Grandy will have you on Friday night. I'll be back on Sunday. Also a reminder to check us out on Warriors This Week. Dan DeVone's going to be back 9 a.m. to noon. Shout out to everyone that came out to Freedman's Appliance last weekend, even if you couldn't make it. We appreciate your thoughts and consideration. But we'll be rocking Warriors all weekend long, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we'll be doing it right here on your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game. Big thank you to Sterling Bennett, our network coordinator. Big thank you to Chris O'Connell, our producer, getting everything sound-wise ready for us, as well as all the shows tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., Morning Roast, Steiny and Guru, Wilder and Dibs, all right here on 95.7 The Game. Lock in. My name is Evan Giddings, saying so long from the 95.7 The Game studios. I appreciate all of you. They keep pulling me back in. We'll see what happens next. But in the meantime, have a good night.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.